So welcome. Welcome everybody here to this home that we're creating together for these 5 days. It's quite a remarkable thing that we all come to do here together. So I honor you for arriving. I honor you for arriving here. And Christopher spoke about intention that can carry us through these days, and just reflect for a moment on the combination or the combined intention in this room. Each one of you and us and the managers of the retreat has an intention that has brought each one here gathered to this spot right now. All with your particular own motivations, but the intention to be here, to really look into our life. And this is something very rare and special that we create for these days. So there are a number of features that sustain and help us in this community that we create together. The first I'll speak about is the ethical guidelines that Christopher mentioned. And this has two aspects. One is the support of the community that we create, and one is the support of our own practice. So this life of awakening, this life of inquiry, rests entirely on this strong foundation of ethics. So I will speak the 5 precepts that we ask each person here to take on for themselves for these days. Perhaps a good way to look at these precepts, rather than as me telling you this set of rules that you need to attend to, take these on in the spirit of investigation and see, do they make a difference when I apply these? Does it make a difference to my heart and mind, to my community? So the first precept, the first guideline, is the guideline of not killing. So for these days we ask not to kill any living creature. That includes the many multitude of insects that you have here in this country. So what we create here, these might seem like small things, but actually it's a very big task to not lash out at life, whatever form it takes, these small creatures even. And what we do in that is create an environment that is a sanctuary for all of life. It's rare that all creatures can breathe out without fear of their life. It also fosters in us a respect for life without the immediate response sometimes to lash out. It fosters in us reverence and respect. And this is a foundation of our practice, the reverence and respect that we bring to this moment, to our life. The second guideline is the guideline of not taking anything that isn't offered. So in blunt language, it's not stealing. And again, recognizing the safety that we create together, where we don't have to keep looking out for our property. And here, with this one, we don't have to keep looking over our shoulders to look, oh, are my things okay? We can just relax with that. The third ethical guideline is, for the purposes of this retreat, is to refrain from sexual activity. In the daily life situation, in the non-retreat form, it's translated as not engaging in any harmful sexual activity. For the retreat, it means not any sexual activity. And This comes not out of a puritanical view of sexuality. Really, it recognizes the strength of that in a human being. And for this training, for this time of training, we just put it aside. So that our energy is combined together and aligned fully with our motivation, which is to see clearly, to wake up. So, again, it's not out of judgment, but it's out of recognizing where we want to put our energy for these days. So, sometimes something people notice is the antenna of interest in other people in that way. And for these days, to let the antenna stay down. And if you see them, you know, just let them come. The fourth ethical guideline is the guideline around speech. And the guideline is expressed as non-harming through speech. So to speak only the truth, what is useful, and not engage in gossip. For this retreat, you will mostly be in silence. So this is done for you. It's not so hard. But you will have the opportunity of speaking in groups and in one-to-one situations. So to watch how we use our speech. Do we use it to contribute to harmony, or do we use it to contribute to confusion and distrust? So giving attention to our speech. And the last guideline is to refrain from taking anything that is intoxicating. So alcohol and drugs. Anything that makes the mind cloudy. And this is very simple. In this practice, we're interested in clarity and carefulness, mindfulness. And these things contribute to non-clarity. So with this foundation that we all take of these ethical guidelines, it enables us to stabilize our mind. If we live with these guidelines, we start to live in harmony with some of the deeper truths of life. And even if for you at this moment you say, well, I don't see any connection between squashing an insect and my meditation, that's okay. You don't need to see that connection. But take it on and look, does it make a difference? Does it make a difference? So with this foundation of steadying our mind from the ethical guidelines, then there's a place where the wisdom and life can reveal itself to us in the ways that life does all the time if we just steady and pay attention. Silence is a big feature, and many, many of you are new to this form, this practice, and the silence may seem a little strange and imposing at first. But we invite you here to immerse yourself in it, like stepping in to a cool bath, and allow the silence to just sink into you as you sink into the silence. And again, with the interest to explore. Why do we create this condition of silence? Just see what effect it has. We're so used to defining ourselves in this world by how we communicate with people, whether we get good feedback or bad feedback or indifferent feedback. We're kind of constantly looking sometimes for reflections of who I am through speech. And here, the silence can be a big relief. We don't have to be anybody at all. We don't have to have a shining personality, or be clever, or have the right insights. We just have to be. And this is a big relief. We don't have to be anybody. our life actually has so much silence in it. If we just were aware, the silence and the space of life is everywhere, permeates everything. But very often we try to fill up the spaces. We try to fill up the gaps of silence to keep it going, to keep the busyness and the self-reflection going. And here we invite us to drop all of that and just see what is there when I just let go into the silence. In a way, this seems to require a lot of trust. And the fact that you've even got this far, there's the willingness and interest to just see. Okay, I don't know what will be revealed in these 5 days. If you think you know what's going to happen, you're probably wrong. There's a great deal of trust. You don't know what will happen in these 5 days. And that is the beauty of this practice. That is the beauty of the beginner's mind. That can just come and just see what will life show me. This silence has a very good effect for our practice. It makes us become more sensitive to life. We become more and more in tune and sensitive to our life and the life around us. And this helps our connection. And engaging, inviting ourselves into the silence acknowledges the importance of the inward journey. We're giving attention to the inward journey. So, as well as the silence, we let go of many of the external things of our lives as well. You've already let go of a lot to be here. You've let go of your home for these days, your family, your job, your lifestyle. And the retreat even asks us to let go more on the outer level. You've probably realized that you've also let go of control about when you eat and what you eat. And if you fully engage wholeheartedly in the timetable, you've let go of when you wake up because it's decided for you. And you've really let go of a lot to enter into this. And over these 5 days, there's letting go on the outer and there's letting go on the inner. And that simplicity that we bring is what allows us to get in touch with the possibility of life revealing itself. So it's very, very simple here. We sit, we walk, we listen, we eat, we sit, we walk, we sit, we walk. It's very, very simple. And very often in our lives we think of simplicity as somehow lacking something. Simplicity, there must be something more than just bare simplicity. But what we start to discover if we let ourselves, that this simplicity is the partner of profundity. That simplicity is the partner of great depths of wisdom. We just have to let ourselves see that. So Christopher mentioned not writing too much if you are somebody who likes to write, but also in the request of simplicity to not read, to leave aside books for this time as well, and not needing to for these days, not needing to fill with more ideas for this time. For simplicity also, if you've come with friends or partners, please leave them to their practice. Even though we are very connected here, we support each other wholeheartedly, we also invite each person to be on their own for this time. So not needing to communicate with friends or partners. So As with all journeys, and this is indeed a journey for these days, travel as lightly as you can. Don't come with too much extra baggage. So as lightly as we can. So the silence will begin after Stephen speaks and we enter into the meditation. And this is silence here in this room, of speech, but also to the extent that we can of our body too, so that we move carefully and easily through the grounds. Silence in all the grounds, silence in the dining room, so that we can really just relax into the silence. So just to finish, I want to say a couple of things about meditation. Firstly, about what meditation is not. Meditation is not about blanking out our minds. Meditation is not about achieving no thought. Meditation is not about perfecting our personality or sorting out our neuroses. It is not about becoming more spiritual. It's not about becoming anything at all, actually. It's not about achieving a perfect mind state where we can just hang out in a nice mind state. And it's not about getting somewhere else in the future and arriving somewhere far off. Meditation is an art. It is the art of not clinging, not grasping. And this is what we practice here in each moment we are awake. We practice not clinging. And that the freedom that is possible comes from not clinging to anything whatsoever. And in this way, as we start to let go of the clinging, we start to see that while this meditation looks like it has to do with me, sitting here, that as we let go of clinging, we start to see that our practice is not just for ourselves, that our practice is actually for all of life, as we start to let go of holding life and others too tightly, we give freedom to life, ourselves and others. So I wish you bon voyage, travel safely, and thank you for